Do the Old Testament promises to Israel apply to us today? That's just one of the questions we'll be answering on today's edition of Core Christianity. This is Bill Meyer along with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and this is the radio program where we answer your questions about the Bible and the Christian life every day. You can call us right now with your question at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. And you can email us with your question at questions@corechristianity.com. First up, dog lovers take notice. A new law in Germany may soon require dog owners to take their pooches for walks twice a day for an hour at a time. Yes, the country's agriculture minister, Julia Klöcker, says she's introducing the law based on evidence that people are not providing their dogs with enough exercise or stimuli. The law also bans tethering dogs on a chain or a lead for long periods of time or leaving them home alone all day. A spokesperson for the agricultural ministry says that local authorities will be responsible for enforcing the law. The law, which is set to be introduced next year, has received pushback from dog owners as well as from lazy dogs across Germany.
Bill, ain't nobody got time for that. I mean, that's all I got to say.
Two hours a day?
Now you have, I mean, I know Sparky, I mean, he likes to go for walks. So do you guys do 2 hours a day?
Are you kidding me? No, I mean, maybe 25 minutes and maybe twice a day on a good day. He's happy just kicking back, man. He's just, He likes to chillax.
Yeah. I mean, so, what about all the people who can't even walk for an hour out there? This sounds like some sort of torture. I don't know. This
is just sounds like the nanny state getting really serious there in Germany. Man, that is, I don't know. Well, let's get to our first question of the day. Stan emailed us and he says, do you have a guide on how to discuss salvation for grandparents to use with grandchildren between the ages of 4 and 16? I want to present to them on their level so I don't blow my opportunity. Mm.
Stan, I love that question. And good for you wanting to encourage your grandchildren and ultimately to point them to the most important thing in life, who Jesus is and what he's done for us, the gospel. And I think a lot of times we underestimate how much our children, our grandchildren can really understand. I mean, I'm blown away by my own kids. You know, they're ages 1 to 8, and they hear and follow along with everything. I mean, it just seems like you have to be careful what you say around them because they're going to listen. And I am so encouraged by the fact that even at that young age, the gospel is relatable, understandable, that Jesus is for the little children. I mean, you think about those scenes in the Gospels where Jesus is welcoming the little children to himself. And your question reminds me of what we see in 2 Timothy. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now I am sure dwells in you as well. I mean, what a beautiful picture of that faith being handed down from generation to generation, first in your grandmother, then in your mother, and I know dwells in you. And the key there is Timothy was taught the scriptures. A little bit later in that same book, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, Paul said this, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. See the focus there. I mean, this is what Timothy had from his childhood, what his grandmother and mother passed down to him. It was an acquaintance with, a familiarity with the sacred writings, with the scriptures. And so, Stan, I would say the first thing is just being consistent in sharing the truth of God's word with your grandchildren. Now, is there a specific way to do that for younger kids or for teenagers? Yeah, I mean, they're asking different questions. I found that if you can just have consistent Bible reading time, that can be really helpful. Even if they don't understand everything, what you find is as you're telling the story, questions begin to arise. And I mean, we've seen that with our own family devotions with our kids. You know, we'll be reading through a section of the Old Testament or something in the New Testament. And sometimes it seems like the kids aren't listening, but then all of a sudden they'll ask a question and say, wait a minute, why did that happen? Or how come God did this? Or boy, that person was evil. You know, what they need Jesus. And so being familiar with, acquainted with the scriptures and sharing that with our family, with our children, and with our grandchildren. And I think the focus, you know, especially for the younger ones, really just has to be Jesus, his work for us on the cross. Some of the questions we like to ask early on are, who is Jesus? What did he do for you? What is sin? And giving these sort of answers that a child could understand. You know, Jesus is God. He came to save us from our sins. Sin is when we break God's law, when we disobey mommy and daddy. Where is Jesus right now? You know, that's another question we ask. Well, he raised up, he ascended into heaven. He rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven. I mean, having these conversations with our children, with our grandchildren, introducing them to the truth of Scripture. And again, the beautiful thing is it's a work of the Holy Spirit. I remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, and I hope that this encourages you, Stan. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus prays to his Father, and he says something that I just think is so amazing. He's praying, Matthew 11, verse 25, it says, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father. For such was your gracious will. God is the one who opens the heart, who opens our eyes, even the eyes of little children. Jesus prayed, I thank you, Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the understanding. That he's referring to the religious leaders, you know, the theologically educated. And he says, Father, you know who you chose to reveal your truth, your goodness, your gospel to? The little children. And so, and pray that the Lord does that for your grandchildren, Stan. And introduce them day and night to the Holy Scriptures and see what God does as you do that. I mean, really a wonderful, miraculous thing. God works by his Spirit with his word to change our hearts.
You know, Adriel, Stan didn't ask this in his question specifically, but I'm kind of wondering if what might be behind his question is that his own children, son or daughter, are not sharing Jesus with his grandchildren. And do you have any advice for grandparents on how to be respectful of their own kids, the adult parents of these children, of their grandchildren, at the same time not compromising on their faith?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, certainly. And I just mentioned prayer. I would say it begins with prayer, obviously. And if that's the case for Stan, praying for his children in particular as well. And I think a lot of times we can look back and say, I wish I would have done more. Or maybe even I wish, you know, that what I want to teach my grandchildren now, I had taught my children. Well, you bring that before the Lord. You confess it and you say, God, be merciful. And God gives grace. And I think you're right on, Bill, that we never want to compromise. And so part of it is the way that we live our lives. I mean, this is another thing that I didn't even mention, but it's so important for us as we seek to teach our children the faith, that they don't see a contradiction in how we live and what it is that we're teaching. Now, of course, they're going to some degree because we're sinners, but I think being able to lead in things like repentance, to show a level of transparency and say, we need Jesus too. Grandpa needs Jesus, Dad needs Jesus, Mom needs Jesus. To be honest about our failures, about our faults, and to be honest about the goodness of God and his mercy to us in Christ. And every circumstance is different, Bill, but I would say beginning with prayer and then modeling the charity, the love of Jesus Christ, and offering to be helpful with your grandchildren, you know, spending time with them. I know my wife and I love when we get babysitting so we can get out. And well, what an opportunity for you to just model love, charity, and to have opportunities to be able to share the word of God with your grandchildren and to do so in a way that's respectful. But as you said, you don't want to compromise. You want to be able to be a faithful Christian and to pass down that faith that is so important to your grandchildren.
Great counsel. This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. And if you have a question for us, you can call us anytime at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. Adriel, let's go to a call that came in from Chi.
I've been struggling with faith for a decent amount of time. I know that God's there, but just recently I've been going through a lot of depression and insecurities and loneliness. And I feel like I have no one. I never fit in. I feel like I only have God right now, and I just need help. I don't know why God lets certain things happen to people. I guess that's my question. Why has some events happened in my life that makes me want to go further away from God? Like, why does he let that happen? Thank you. Bye.
Hey, Chi, thank you for calling us here at Core Christianity. And I want to begin just by praying for you. And I invite all of you listening right now to pray for Chi with me. Father, lift Chi up to you. God, I ask for your comfort. I pray, Lord, you would raise him up, that you would strengthen his faith, Lord. Thank you that he's even willing to give us a call and to be open, to share the struggles that he's been going through, Lord, the isolation, the loneliness. I pray, Lord, you would comfort him, that you would be near to him, that he would have a sense of your presence, but also that you would provide him with community, Lord. First and foremost, Lord, in your body, the church, brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, who could encourage him and walk alongside of him. Even, Lord, he mentioned depression. Lord, I pray for potentially even a good counselor who can encourage him and help him navigate through some of these things that he's feeling and wrestling with, Lord. We know that these have been difficult times for so many people, and especially with the added isolation, the distance because of coronavirus restrictions. Lord, it's just been such a hard time. And so we pray for him for an extra measure of grace. We ask, Lord God, that you would open his eyes and his heart to the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he would have a sense of that love for him. Father, grant this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Chi, I mean, there's a lot there. You did at the outset mention just that battle with depression, the isolation, the loneliness. And I do want to just begin by saying, if you don't have Christian community, if you don't have a counselor, I mean, a lot of times, especially with things like depression, sadly, it doesn't have to be the case and it shouldn't be the case, but there's this shame, this feeling of, why do I struggle with this? Is there something wrong with me? Even a fear, a shame related to going and seeing a counselor. Well, you don't have to have that. Depression, many times, just like any other sort of illness, is something you can't control. And so there are circumstances, situations where it really is so important for you to sit down with a doctor, with a counselor who's going to be able to help you, give you some extra guidance. And so I want to encourage you to do that if you haven't been able to do that, just to sit down with someone who can encourage you in that way. And if you're not in a church, and I know that things have been really hard right now, church is not meeting and there being less fellowship. We've experienced that even in our own church, but you do need Christian community, the body of Christ. Doesn't matter who you are, or what you battle with, we need that. The author of the Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 3 that we have to encourage each other day by day while it is called today, lest we're hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Doesn't matter who you are, each and every one of us needs that Christian community that's encouraging us, and we're encouraging others because we're in this together. Now, I can't give you an answer to why God allowed or allows particular things to happen in our lives. I'm not sure what you've been through. It sounds like there have been some really difficult things. I can tell you on the basis of God's word, because this is what God does reveal. He doesn't always reveal this side of heaven why certain things happen, but he does reveal in his word that he is good somehow through all of it. And that if you belong to Jesus by faith, he's able to take even the most difficult things and turn them out for your good, Chi. God isn't cruel or evil, and he knows suffering. That's one of the beautiful things about the God that we worship and serve, Jesus. He assumed humanity. He knows the depth of human suffering, the depth of isolation, of loneliness. He's the one who cried out on the cross, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," my God, Why have you forsaken me? If anyone knows the depth of darkness, of isolation, of loneliness, of abandonment, it's Jesus Christ. And Chi, I want you to know that Jesus can sympathize with you. The pain, the darkness, the isolation. He was tempted in all ways as we are, the author of the Hebrews says, and yet he was without sin. He always had faith. He clung to the Father and to the promises in Scripture. He was perfectly righteous and holy and pure. And brother, he ever lives to make intercession for you. He prays for you so that when you don't feel strong and when your faith is weak, if you belong to him, if you believe in him, Jesus, Chi, is praying for you, and he calls us to look to him. And we don't know why we experience the suffering that we do this side of heaven, but we know, as Scripture says, that God is able to make even those difficult things, those hard things, work together for the good. And the way we know that primarily is by looking to the cross. I mean, talk about pain, talk about suffering, talk about sinful people crucifying the Lord of glory. And yet God was able to take that event, which he had foreordained before the foundation of the world, and turn it for the good of humanity and for the salvation of our souls, the redemption from sin. Well, God is able to work even in the darkness, and God does work in the darkness, Chi. And so instead of turning away from him, running from him, I would say press into him, pursue him. Receive the comfort that comes from the Spirit of God and from Jesus ultimately, who, as I said, can sympathize with you. The temptation for all of us in those difficult times, in our suffering, is to run, is to isolate, is to flee. And I know it's so hard. I know that that's kind of our natural reaction, but I want to encourage you, as difficult as it is, reach out. Get help, get a counselor, reach out to brothers and sisters in Christ. You've already done that, even just by calling this program. You've already reached out. Continue to get that fellowship, that community that you need, and ultimately reach out to Jesus by faith. Extend your heart, your hands to him, and lay hold of him, the one who loves you, the one who can sympathize with you, and the one who is near to you by faith. God bless you, Chi.
This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. I'm Bill Meyer, and today we want to tell you about our 100-page soft cover workbook for the Gospel of John. This is a great offer. And Adriel, can you explain why this is a study that really everybody should have?
Well, I mean, the Gospel of John is such a spectacular book of the Bible, and this study does a lot of the difficult work for you. I mean, it takes the deep truths that we find in John's Gospel and it drops them right in your lap so that you can start living in light of those truths right now, today. That's what a lot of us want when we read the Bible. You know, we don't always know how to make that happen, though. Each weekly lesson here is going to look at a specific Bible passage, highlight key themes. It's going to probe your heart with reflection questions. And I think you'll come away with a better understanding of not just the Gospel of John, but the whole drama of Scripture. This gospel is spectacular. It's one of my favorite books in all the Bible. And this study is a fantastic guide that will engage you from start to finish. So go to corechristianity.com/offers to get your copy of our unique Bible study on the Gospel of John.
One of our longtime supporters here at Core Christianity has made a special donation, so you can get this workbook from us for free. You can take advantage of the special gift from us here at Core Christianity by heading over to corechristianity.com/Gospel of John and get your copy today. Again, it's corechristianity.com/Gospel of John. You can also call us for that offer or any one of our offers at 833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. Adriel, let's get to another question. This one was posted on our Instagram account from James, and he says, is holiness something that is imputed to us in the same way as righteousness is imputed, or is there any difference between the two?
You did use a word there that might be new for some of our listeners, imputation, imputed. It's the idea that God credits to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's what Paul teaches throughout the book of Romans. We receive the righteousness of Jesus as a gift credited to us, imputed to us. Now, is that how we think about holiness? I mean, positionally, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are the holy ones, sanctified by Jesus in the sense that we belong to him. We've been set apart. For example, in the Old Testament, the holy vessels of the temple, they were set apart for the use, the service of the temple. They belonged to God. Well, in a very similar way, we are the temple of the true and the living God. We belong to him. We've been set apart. We are holy. Even if we fail and struggle with sin, I mean, think about the Corinthians, for example, like the Apostle Paul refers to them as holy ones, as sanctified in Jesus Christ. And yet we know by reading the book of 1 Corinthians that the Corinthian church had all sorts of problems. And yet in Jesus, positionally, they can be referred to as holy. The various creeds of the church, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, we talk about the church being one holy Catholic. The word Catholic there just means universal, an apostolic church. You know, you think about that, it's like, how is the church holy? I mean, you think about the church today with all of its struggles, to call it holy, it just doesn't seem right. Well, we're holy. The church is holy because it's united to Jesus, because the head of the church is Jesus Christ, the Holy One, and his holiness is ours insofar as we're united to him. Now, that doesn't mean that we're perfectly holy this side of heaven. We're called, James, to pursue holiness, to live in light of our new identity in Jesus Christ. We are the sanctified, the holy ones, and yet over and over in the New Testament, we're called to holiness. And so, in one sense, we are holy. In another sense, we're called to pursue holiness. James, you are holy through your union with Jesus because Jesus is the Holy One. Now pursue holiness with everything you have. Pursue God in Christ as a holy follower of Christ.
James, thanks so much for your question. This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. We have time for one last question. This one from Jean. She emailed us and said, can we take Isaiah 43:1 personally, or is that just for the nation of Israel?
Let me read Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You talk about the intimacy there. God reveals this intimate love for his people and how he chooses and pursues his people. Now, here's what you need to know. Those promises of God that we find in Scripture, we can apply them to ourselves, but only through Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. We are, Paul says in Galatians, the children of Abraham by faith. The promises that were made to him through Jesus Christ belong to us. And what are those promises? He's going to give us a land. Now, the land there is a type of something greater. It's not that we stand to inherit, you know, a piece of land in the Middle East. It's that we stand to inherit the new creation. That's what we have to do. We have to understand these promises in light of how they unfolded in the story of the Bible, in the history of redemption. And ultimately, the promises first and foremost belong to Jesus, but also to us insofar as we are united to Jesus. And so I think that we can say, yeah, these promises belong to us. And there's even a wonderful text that I think speaks to this very specific promise in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Listen to what our Lord Jesus said. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and the robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Gene, Jesus is the good shepherd who calls his sheep by name, who woos us by his word and spirit.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, visit us at corechristianity.com and click on Offers in the menu bar, or call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, please let us know how you've been encouraged by this podcast. and be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.